This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for an evening of conversation and song with a legendary Broadway actress, dancer, and singer, or a musical, spiritual journey with a native son who's been reborn, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. Two-time Tony Award-winning legend Gita Rivera is heading to town this weekend for an evening of music and conversation in Broadway at Le Petit. The actress, dancer, and singer best known for her roles in musical theater was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom and is making a rare stop in the Crescent City. She joins us now by phone from New York. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Well, thank you. I mean, any way I can get to New Orleans makes me happy, even if it's just the radio.
Well, welcome back to the city. It's been a while since you were in town.
Yeah, it has been a while. I adore that town. I find New Orleans like a country to its own. You step off the plane in New Orleans and you're in another world. You know, it smells different from any other place. It's so beautiful, and it's all positive. I adore coming there. Besides, I've got several friends. We're going to make it a party.
Yeah. Now, you are joining SiriusXM radio host and pianist Seth Rudetsky for an evening of song and conversation. Tell us, what are you up to these days? You're still working in your 80s?
I like it. I like to work. I think that as long as you're alive, you still want to be a part of life, you know. And I love to be working with Seth, by the way, is absolutely wonderful. It's a different kind of series. It's conversation, as you said, and song. And he is a brilliant pianist and composer, and he just knows so much about the theater. So it's really a lot of fun to do the show with him. Also, I love Le Petit. I've never played there, and I've always adored that beautiful, beautiful little theater. So it's an honor to be able to do that. But what I'm up to nowadays is a lot. You know, I like to do my concerts. They're all around the country. And this summer, I'm going to be doing in Williamstown, Massachusetts, for the third time, maybe third time lucky, an amazing musical version of a play called The Visit, which the Lunts had done in the 30s in Europe. And Ingrid Bergman and Anthony Quinn did a film of it. So it's a very interesting, dark play. And Kandra and Ebb have written the music, the score for it. And John Doyle is directing it, Graciela Daniel is choreographing it. So we're really looking forward to this summer in doing that and hoping to bring it to Broadway.
Wow, you really are keeping busy. What is it that keeps you so strong and motivated?
First of all, you have to have a passion for what you do. And I have a wonderful family, a wonderful daughter. I tell the kids this, when you have a foundation like dancers do, athletes do, of really exercising and trying to eat the right things, and it keeps you as healthy as you can possibly be.
Yeah,
and you know it's been fabulous for me.
You originated several roles on Broadway: Anita in West Side Story, Rosie in Bye Bye Birdie, and Velma in Chicago, in a career spanning 6 decades now.
Yeah.
Tell us how it all began for you and how your big break occurred.
Well, it all began when I was, my mother was smart enough to put me in ballet school when I was 7. And then this wonderful teacher in D.C. Trained me. And then a scout came down from New York City Ballet, picked 2 people from her school to be trained in New York at the School of American Ballet and be on scholarship. So I finished my high school in New York and continued my dance training with hopes of going into the ballet. But a friend asked if I would go with her to audition for a show, and I said sure. And I went, and I got the job. Unfortunately, she didn't. And so I called home, and I was 17. I had just finished high school. And I asked my mom what she thought about it. And she said, how does it feel? And it was Jerome Robbins. That's not bad.
Yeah.
And so she said, by all means. And so she came up. And because I was 17, she wanted me to have a chaperone. And so she picked somebody from the company, an older woman, and I had myself a chaperone. And that's how it started. It was a show called Call Me Madam. It starred Elaine Stritz, but originally it was Ethel Merman. So that's how it got started.
And for which performances did you win the Tony Awards?
Spider-Woman, Aurora, and The Rink with Liza Minnelli.
Now, it was your parents who encouraged your aspirations for...
Absolutely. Well, my father had died at that point. I've often wondered, should my father have lived, whether he would actually, with the, you know, the Latin background, if he would have allowed me to go off, you know, at the age of 15.
Yeah, that's and, awful young.
Yeah, but my mother, you know, she was an extraordinary woman. She checked several friends who live in the area, and I was put in a home with some friends that, you know, could keep their eye on me, you know. So as I went to high school and then to ballet, it was a wonderful thing that my mother did. None of this would have happened had my mother not had the courage to let me go.
So what are you most proud of in your long career?
I think it's the longevity and the fact that I came along at an amazing time when theater was really at its highest, at its best. And they call it the golden age, and it truly was the golden age. I mean, you know, how lucky can you be to Bye-Bye Birdie, West Side Story, the you know, Chicago, The Rink, Spider-Woman. I mean, that's pretty amazing as it is. And then there were so many other shows that I did. But those are huge shows that people do now in schools, and they're history, you know. So I was pretty lucky.
As a dancer, how did you overcome what could have been a career-ending midlife car accident?
Well, first of all, God. Second of all, good genes. Third, amazing foundation, training. Training, training, training. And an amazing doctor. And myself. I can't leave myself out of this because I was extremely obedient, did what I was told, listened to the doctor, and wanted to not only get back up on my feet, but I wanted to please the doctor. Suddenly doctors become your parents, you know.
Yeah.
And you really want to do it so that they can say to you, good job, and you're up on your feet. So I was, you know, I have to thank God for that. And we worked hard to get myself back, well, as close to what it was. Mm-hmm. You never cope, you know.
Giving up was not an option for you.
Never.
Now, let's talk about two awards. One was the Kennedy Center Honor. You were the first Hispanic woman to receive the award. What was that like?
You don't expect anything like that, you know, nor the Medal of Freedom. I mean,
yeah, I was going to ask you, you followed up with the Presidential Award of Freedom.
Yeah, you can only just put your hands up and say, thank you, God, you know. I do know that I worked hard, and I'm proud of the things that I have done, and I hope that I am a good example for those who want to follow dancers, who, you know, want to have longevity and really be good at what they do.
Now tell me, what will you perform while you're in New Orleans?
Well, I don't know what Seth wants to do. We will probably do some numbers from jazz, maybe from Chicago Where You Are, and America from West Side. And the other one was from Spider-Woman. I'm not really sure what he's going to choose to do.
And the conversation, what's likely to come up?
With Seth, I can't tell you. I mean, Seth is an extraordinary guy, and he is so funny, and I love curves, and he will throw you a curve. I can't tell you what he's going to ask me.
But you're ready for the questions, right?
I'm going to have my feet planted firmly on the ground.
If you could leave New Orleanians with a pearl of wisdom about life, what would it be?
Live it. Share it. Be kind. and give back. You don't get anything unless you give something, but you don't give to get, you know. But you get so much back when you give. To share your life, you know.
Yeah.
Just live your life. And New Orleans is a place that shares itself. Maybe a little too much sometimes. But I have never gone to New Orleans without having some good laughs.
Oh, great. We're glad to have you back.
Well, thank you so much, Diane. You have a good day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye now.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
I like to be in America. Okay, by me in America. Everything free in America. For a small fee in America.
The legendary Che Rivera will perform two shows at Le Petit Theater, 616 St. Peter Street, Saturday evening at 6:30 and 8:30. More at lepetittheater.com. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO. I'm Diane Mack. My next guest is a native son, known as the Prince of Tremé, Glenn David Andrews, singer, trombonist, and cousin of Trombone Shorty, is in the house. Andrews has been on a spiritual journey, and his latest release, Redemption, is a testament to his rebirth following a personal storm. Glenn David Andrews, welcome to the program.
How you doing, darling?
Congratulations on the new CD, Redemption.
Oh, we hope everybody enjoyed it. We've been pumping it real hard.
How long has it been in the making?
Well, this CD took almost 2 years to make because it's a testament of certain parts of my life, good and bad, and it all came out. My life is in a really good place these days. I was just excited to write about it, and I'm not ashamed to write about things I've been through.
So tell us, what led you on this soul-searching journey?
Well, at one point in everybody's life, you got to change your life from different elements, no matter what it may be. And I was just in a very dark place, and it was time for a major change in my life. And I was able to do that with the help of a lot of treatment and a lot of friends. So I feel like I'm in a good place right now.
Tell us about the demons you were fighting, and where did you go to get help?
We all go through something, no matter what. It might be grief, might be debt, might be addiction, whatever. You go through a storm in your life. And for me, I just really had to fall on and go on a spiritual journey to really come out of this.
So tell us, how did you reclaim your life?
Oh, I started with giving it to God. I think in everybody's life, we all have to call on a higher power, whatever that might be for you. And that's what I had to do.
Are you a better man, musician, because of the journey?
When you change your life for better reasons, everything gets better. Like just last night, I was in the grocery store, and a producer I knew, a guy in New Orleans, he run off. One of the guys that work at Tipitina's was together, and they was making fun of me because of everything that was in my grocery basket. It was like, you literally got everything organic. Like, there's not nothing that's not organic in this basket. And I'm like, dude, that's part of the lifestyle change. You do better, you eat better. That's a big change, to eat better in a town like New Orleans, where all the ladies in my family are 300-plus pounds and great cooks. So it's kind of a hard thing to do that, but it's one of the things you got to do. I want to live to be, you know, old age. I won't be old yet, but I want to get there.
I believe you left and went to New York. Is it hard now coming back to New Orleans and coming back to Tremé?
I don't really hang in the Tremé as much. I don't really hang nowhere, for that matter. I perform 5-6 times a week, and I'm out of the venue within 20 minutes. I do a lot of things that prevent me from staying there and have to hang around. There's really not too many good elements for musicians hanging around in clubs, as we all know. And I'm really trying to be a part of that group that break that stigmatisms of what musicians are. Musicians are more than drug addicts. They are more than people who sit around and drink after the gig. Musicians are fathers, they're brothers, they're cousins, they're somebody's son. I got a pretty strong team that rolls with me wherever I go.
So let's talk about Redemption.
Redemption is big. It's kind of hard to describe because you realize when you go down a journey in life that you don't go alone. Everybody on this record had a major part in my journey, from Anders Osborne to Ivan Neville to Jameson Ross, a great drummer. The musical director is Barry Stevenson. He just received his musicals master's degree from right here at UNO. Three different guys in the band just graduated from UNO, all from Florida. And saxophonist James Martin from Maryland Trombone Shorty. So for me, maybe my record in Hooray for the Riff Raff is like two of the biggest national release records coming out right now. This is not a second line record. This is a record, it's already reached the masses, which I'm shocked about. I'm just going for it. It's an exciting time to be me right now.
So let's talk about some of the cuts. It's Your Life, and each song tells a story.
Yeah, like Bad by Myself, that's one of my favorite cuts, because you always hear songs about women dogging men and all this kind of stuff. And I didn't want to write a song about dogging a woman. I just wanted to write a song about telling the truth in a relationship. And the truth to a relationship is, after it becomes too much, when love isn't there no more, you can just move on and just do Bad by Yourself.
Tired of all the fussing and fighting. And it leads to a dead end. Baby.
That's one of the most popular songs on that. With the opportunities and everything that's going on in my life, I have a lot of blessings that's raining down on me right now.
You have Didn't It Rain on here. That's with Mahalia Jackson.
Oh, my God. Not only do I have on there, but I got a face and my posters all over my wall. I've been a Mahalia fan. I've always been into real music. So I had a choice. I was either going to use Sister Rosetta Tharpe or Mahalia Jackson. And, you know, I use Rosetta maybe next time, but nothing compares to the Queen. I get to wake up every morning and listen to one of my idols on my record.
Didn't it rain, children, talk about rain, oh my Lord. Didn't it, oh my Lord, didn't it rain.
Well, it rained 40 days, 40 nights without stopping. Noah was glad when the rain stopped dropping. Knocked on the window, knocked at the door. Cried, Brother Noah, take some more. Noah cried, Noah, full of sin. God's got the key, can't get in. Just listen, how it's raining. Well, listen, how it's raining. All day, all night. Just listen, how it's raining. Some morning, some groaning. Some groaning, some moaning, some praying, some shouting while it's raining down on me.
That's pretty cool. Now take us back to the beginning. I understand that your birth, your very birth, was a musical experience.
All the second lines used to stop in front of my grandmother's house in the early 80s. The tuba fat was blowing his tuba, put the bell of the tuba on my mama's stomach and her water bag bus. That's really true. You know, Jesus was born in the manger. I was born in the second line.
So what was it like growing up in Treme, and how did Treme shape your musical career?
It was better than any school in this city of America. You couldn't pay for the education I got musically. NOCA, UNO, Berkeley, nowhere could teach me what I learned in the Treme, hands-on with those musicians. I would never learn that in a school. You see it in different musicians. You see it in Rebirth. You see it in Dirty Dozen. You see it in Trombone Shorty. Although a lot of us went on and got some formal education in music, it's hard to explain sitting on the corner with Danny Barker, watching him teach your cousin Trombone Shorty a song from a jazz master to a future jazz star. It's just a great experience.
So you grew up with a lot of second lines in Treme?
Oh, my God. I got so many butt whippings for leaving our school to go to the second line. Like, I don't regret none of them.
You chose second line maybe over homework?
I chose second line over anything to this day. It's a celebration of everything. Life, debt. You got a lot of people go to second lines like on Sunday that work 9 to 5s. And they just let it all out on Sunday. And then you see them next Sunday and the next Sunday. And then somebody finally asks them, say, man, why you come to this? It's because I got to deal with you Monday through Friday. And it's the only thing I can release. And all that goes back to West Africa through the Caribbean, to Congo Square, to 2014, modern-day New Orleans. If you've never been to second line, you got to go. Or if you never just sat in the preservation hall, you're missing out one of the greatest experiences of your life.
What do you know for sure about life after this journey.
My time on earth is to be a very productive, humble person, and I think my life should be used to enrich somebody else's.
What's next for Glenn David Andrews?
An orchestra record. I want to record my band. I kind of want to do Wilson Pickett meets Solomon Burke. I'm going to do it with an orchestra. Back in my band, and two or three of the best soul singers in America that inspired me. But in the meantime, I'm writing with some pretty huge people. And that's the very beginning process. I learned to make a record. It's a journey. It takes a year. It takes two. It might take three. So I'm pretty grateful that everybody likes Redemption, because it's going to be a year or two before you see the next one. But I can definitely tell you this next one will be with an orchestra. I'm trying to push the envelope as far as I can push it.
Well, congratulations once again on Redemption.
Thank you. I look forward to coming back up here. Hope to see you at some of the shows.
All right. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Glenn David Andrews kicks off the fifth season of Jazz in the Park on Thursday, 6:30 p.m. in Armstrong Park. You can also catch Andrews at Jazz Fest Sunday, May 4th. Glenn David Andrews' latest release, Redemption, produced by Leo Sachs, is just out from Louisiana Red Hot Records. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.